to Thriller Bitcoin. Welcome to Thriller Bitcoin.
How do you say that? Hekalahara?
Hekalahara, yeah.
Hekalahara. So we're going to break into the city, hack their systems. That's what we're doing this weekend?
Yeah, Super Testnet came, of course, up with the Hekalahara. And it's a nice name, I think.
Yeah.
But it's a little bit difficult.
But Hekalahara. It's just Bitcoin only, right? We're just doing like a Bitcoin only hackathon?
It's Bitcoin only, yeah. We're a Bitcoin only community. You can check us out at btcgdl.com. And we're a Bitcoin-only community, basically, and we're a small but growing community, and yeah.
So Rob, tell us a little bit about Guadalajara, tell us a little bit about Hacker Garage and like how it fits in the city and all that kind of stuff.
Yes, so I arrived in the city 12 years ago, my wife is Mexican, and back in 2016 I was looking for a co-work space, and I found Hacker Garage. And yeah, it changed my life basically because it's a kind of a bubbling community connected with the tech communities in Guadalajara. And yeah, and it was all about sharing knowledge, sharing code, sharing everything. And they had nice meetups. Sometimes there were three different communities holding meetups in Hacker Garage. Yeah, and I was making friends there, learning about the tech, everything. And then one day during the 2017 crypto bubble, I got acquainted with Bitcoin. Ever since then, I'm interested in Bitcoin. And I met at some meetups Chris Guida. And he really started this community together with David. He works at Swan. Since 2019, it went a little downwards because of COVID.
Yeah.
But since Hacker Garage has a new space, they shut down for a while. Yeah, they're doing very well. Slowly growing again, and we're here on a daily basis with like approximately five people co-working every day, also on Saturdays, and. Yeah, we're steadily growing, and then Super Testnet came a couple of months ago, and it grew even faster. And then we decided let's organize a hackathon, now we're here.
Cool, that's awesome, man. Tell me about the city. How does Guadalajara compare to like some of the other big cities in Mexico? Like, where would you consider it as far as like a destination? For people coming out of country?
In short, Guadalajara is historically a little bit more conservative, more a little bit countryside, if that's a correct term, city compared to Mexico City. Of course, you know Mexico City, it's one of the biggest cities in the world. Sometimes you even see cowboys on horses in the city, and that's not something you see in Mexico City. Guadalajara, tequila is from Guadalajara, mariachi is from Guadalajara. It's a very Mexican city. There's a very strong culture, I'd say. And then you have the tech scene. In the 60s and 70s, all the big multinational companies outsourced their services, their work here in Guadalajara. And what you see here right now is that children and grandchildren of those first tech workers in the 60s and 70s. A lot of them are also in tech, and that's kind of the breeding ground of the tech community tech communities here, I was told. Yeah, and you have a lot of companies who outsource their development work here to Guadalajara. I believe you have really a couple of hundred of American companies here that keep their development team here. And so there's a huge potential, I'd say, for Bitcoin to grow here. And then specifically the technical side of Bitcoin. And of course, we have Super Testnet here and Chris Guida who can help and guide with that.
Cool, that's awesome. Well, I'm excited for what we have in store this weekend. So tell everybody kind of what Hakalahara is and what it's trying to do this weekend with all these Bitcoiners here, because a lot of us have traveled from the States and from other spaces.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, thanks for coming, Carr, with Topher also.
Yeah,
we want to make an unforgettable weekend with making friendships, sharing knowledge. Hakalahara will be an ideal event for that, I'd say. What do we have to offer? I think we're still very early in Mexico. So, one challenge is opening a Bitcoin hardware shop. Make a website and offer Bitcoin hardware stuff. Because we need cold storage, we need the education. That's one challenge. Then we have a Bitcoin-only exchange, our main sponsor, Capital X. And they want to implement a new wallet online. So that's another challenge. And thanks to the community here, I met years ago Gerardo. He's a 3D game developer. And he came, when I asked him, he came to Guadalajara. And we want to design a education material which is in 3D and with 3D glasses. That's another challenge. That's basically it.
That's cool.
And I'd say thanks to people like Chris Guida. At one day, I was having a conversation in 2020 with him, and he was working for Star9. He said, hey, Rob, you need to get your own node. I entered basically the rabbit hole and into self-custody, running your own node, verifying your own transactions and holding your own blockchain, Bitcoin. That's how it started, and it's a really awesome community mixed with foreigners, Mexicans, and we're here all about building and sharing.
Yeah, that's amazing. Chris is somebody I met. When did I meet Chris? I want to say I met him in 22 or 23. I met him at Pleb Lab. He was there just for like a hackathon thing or something, but yeah, he's a really funny guy. When you get Chris and Super together, it's a really hilarious time. So, yeah, that's awesome.
Along the way, we need to make fun also and don't be too serious about Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Bitcoin is a serious thing, but also...
you have to have fun. Yeah.
Make silly jokes, fun.
Yeah.
And make friendships.
Dude, I feel like I just saw you last month.
I know.
How you been?
Good. I like that you just showed up and you're ready to cover the office and you're like the boss.
Did I really take over the office?
So funny. I walked in.
Oh, wow.
And Rob is sitting like, oh my God, am I getting fired? You know, like,
shut up.
From
really?
The outside, it's so
do I like, guess, you know what I think it is? I think I just naturally.
You're just a boss, man.
No, I think I just naturally, like, want to start organizing things.
Yeah.
And I don't think I'm organizing anything.
Yeah.
I just think it just defaults to me for some reason.
Yeah.
Probably because I'm the biggest dude in the room, so people are like, oh, that's the jefe, you know? But that's funny. That's a good observation that you made that I didn't even realize.
It's so funny. Like, I just walked by, I was like, is that car? And then I looked in and Rob is like this. Like, he's either getting hired or fired. Something's happening.
No, I was just interviewing. No, because I wanted to come here and, like, hit the ground running. Like, dude, we traveled. I mean, I don't want to speak for Topher, but, like, Topher traveled from halfway around the world to get here. And then, you know, me, I left Austin yesterday, like at 1, just to get here last night before like 11 p.m.
Right.
And then we woke up early, like, you know what I mean? So like a lot of us like came here to really support you guys and like really try to get everything off the ground. You flew here too, right?
I flew here too,
yeah. So I don't think people realize how much of an effort it actually takes.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of effort to help people get some of this stuff off the ground. Yeah. This will be the first hackathon, dude.
This is the first hackathon, excited
to be a part of it. Yeah. What are your thoughts? What are you kind of expecting?
I'm pumped. I'm very happy how quickly it came together and the guys pulled through. And Chris was sort of like emotional support, but not any other kind of support, which is critical because he's been the sort of heart of this community for years. And so it seems like for him, it's good that somebody else is taking the lead on something big.
Yeah.
So that's very good. Rob have been huge.
Have it in them, dude. Like,
yeah.
Super saw PlebLab do it since 21, so he knows exactly what to do.
Right.
He's at a place now in his career. I don't know what you call it. Professional Bitcoiner now.
Right.
Where he can start pushing back to some of these people that have money. He can say, like, hey, no, like, I've done enough free work in Bitcoin where, hey, I want to do something, support me now, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's really important.
That's huge. I mean, it's huge that Super can pull that kind of sponsorship. I mean, for it. It might not sound like much, maybe $5,000, but like for Mexico, that's
huge. It's humongous.
Big money. That is big money.
Dude, yeah. I know just from Mexico City, like when we did Startup Day in Mexico City, like it was a tremendous amount of like, it was good for the city. Like, you know, it was good for everybody, regardless if, you know, of anything. But it was good for the whole city, and now they're thriving, absolutely thriving over there. It seems like to me from the outside looking in.
Mexico City?
Yeah, it looks like they're getting more Bitcoiners there now. And
right.
Yeah, so it's great. Right. It was good. It was what you needed, and I think we can do the same thing here. It's probably going to take a couple more
punches here
to get it off the ground, but after a while, Guadalajara will be known as
a Bitcoin flywheel town. Yeah.
Because we've known about these guys since Chris has been talking about this place forever, and we were just like, yeah, whatever, dude. But it wasn't until here recently where I was like, okay, it sounds like they actually want to. And I think it's because they both came to Mexico, right? You guys came to Mexico City and are like, well, we could do this, right?
So he was the first two that I know. I think he came in through Kurt, a friend of mine. And then I met Chris in Acapulco, and then Chris was talking up Guadalajara, and then when the Acapulco community sort of faded towards the end, like 2018, I grabbed as many friends as I could have brought them to Guadalajara.
Oh, yeah.
And then we bootstrapped that little community.
Wow.
And a few of them are still here. So it's just been like, we've been kind of in the same crew for a decade.
For a while.
You know? So
So do you think this is going to be it? Do you think this is going to be the bull run that finally gets it to solidified, or you think it was already solidified?
Bull run. Bull run
meaning that more attention, more sponsorships, more companies, more startups, more
for Guadalajara. Developers.
Yeah, for Guadalajara.
I don't know, but I think this is big because, like, if this goes well, which has all the marks of going well, I think that sets the groundwork for maybe a conference next year, right?
Yeah, totally.
And then a conference that does like a 10x from 30 people to 300 is now like, okay, great. Now Guadalajara is on the map. And for people that don't know, Guadalajara actually has, I mean, first of all, it's the second or third biggest city in Mexico. It is an industrial, but also like a sort of university town. It's got a really good sort of club scene and coffee shop scene.
Dude, the food's amazing here.
The food's on point.
Yeah.
There's a lot of tech, smart people. There's air conditioning.
Dude, there's no air conditioning in Mexico City.
Right.
But there's air conditioning here. Whoa, that was shocking to me.
That's odd. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it's amazing here, though.
Yeah. That's so there's air conditioning, you know? the traffic flows on like in Mexico City. There's trees everywhere on like in many places in Mexico City. And it actually has a great airport. You have to like you have to push a little bit harder to find the flights, but you can find direct flights from most cities in the United States to Guadalajara direct. Yeah. So so it actually is a very accessible city.
It kind of reminds me of like the Nashville to Austin.
Sure.
Maybe Mexico City will be the Austin for Mexico, and then like you guys will be like the Nashville.
Right.
Like, you know, where it's just as big.
Yeah.
If not, you know, close second, but it's not quite, you know, the big juggernaut.
Well, you're right that Mexico City has like it's been sort of the financial capital of Mexico.
Yeah.
And kind of like the New York of Latin America. You know, Mexico City is huge. And so, you know, most of the exchanges like Bitso came out of Mexico City. Most of the exchanges, many of which are failed but still tried, came out of Mexico City. So I think that the finance is definitely Mexico City, but we could have the tech here.
Yeah,
you know, we could have a significant
movement. There's definitely here. from looking at it here, to me it looks like there's way more developers and builders here.
There's a lot of developers
compared to Mexico City. Because when we were in Mexico City, it seemed like when PubLab showed up, that's where all the builders and developers were. I think they're still kind of growing theirs over there, but here you just walked in. And it has like a school atmosphere. Like when I was walking up the stairs, like this feels like a school.
Right.
Like it has that kind of, which is good. That's what you need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and Hacker Garage is just an amazing space.
Yeah. Dude, so tell me about this space. I know Rob kind of explained it, but for the people at home that can't see this, like, dude, there's everything here. It's basically a maker space. Like it reminds me of a maker space.
It's a maker space. Yeah.
Like talk about like all the different things that you can do here.
Yeah. So I've known about Hacker Garage since we got here, I think in 2018. They used to have a different location. They've had like three locations. And the story goes, I mean, they've had a lot of people, crypto and other tech and art. And like, basically it's a place where you come and build tech stuff, right? So they have, like yesterday we pulled out like a Raspberry Pi out of a box and cables and LEDs, and we're trying to build the thing with, What's Buddy's name that showed up earlier?
Topher.
We're
trying to build like the mempool.
Yeah. Topher is like a legend, right? So like I'm just helping him do stuff and watching, right? And so like we have all the tools here. They have 3D printers. They have drones. They have all kinds of stuff here. They have all the tools to do tech stuff. It's a geek's paradise. And they had a different location. I remember going to a conference that like a crypto conference party they did at some point, and there's a lot of movement, even in 2018. So one of the things that happened was when COVID hit, they lost the space because nobody was showing up, so we couldn't pay rent.
Sucks.
And then a friend of ours who's like, you know, made it really big in this industry, after COVID came in and gave him like a 1-year runway. Just boom, donation.
Really?
Bootstrap it again.
Wow.
And here we are, right?
So they still been able to keep it running since...
Since that, I think, is
dude.
So he would. So I mean, bro, we're crushing.
Honest, I was telling Rob this earlier. I don't think people realize how important these places are until you actually have one in your city.
Yeah,
and then you can see all the fruit and labor that comes out of it. Like so much spawns from a single hub. Like personally, I know like PubLab, if we did an end of year review of what came out of PubLab and like all the impact that it's had,
right?
First order impacts, people would be like, oh crap. Like a lot of this stuff I'll send to like VCs and to our people, but we never publicize it publicly because it feels too much like you're going like that. And
right.
So that's why I don't like doing it. But I think people would be utterly shocked. But
yeah.
It took us a really long time to get to where we are now, where we're actually finally like breaking even and barely a little over every month.
Right.
It took us 4 years.
Right.
But it does require some upfront capital. And the more capital you have, the more cool stuff like this you can have. Like, there's a drone right there that's just sitting there. That's amazing.
Yeah, that's a pretty solid drone. It's like a big drone.
So that's what I'm trying to say. Like, can you talk about how important these are?
Yeah,
because you've seen a lot. You've been in the space a really long time. Talk about that.
Well, I can talk from my experience. I mean, I started out of a space like this in Toronto.
Yeah.
It was called the Bitcoin Decentral. It was spearheaded by Anthony DiOrio, who made a lot of money in early Bitcoin.
Nice.
And then eventually he ended up cash flowing Ethereum for like 2 years before the
bootstrap.
Yeah, he was like, Ethereum would probably not exist as far as I understand.
What's it for that guy?
Without Anthony DiOrio.
Oh, wow, I didn't know.
Like
that.
He paid the bills on Ethereum before the ICO for like at least a year and a half.
Wow.
And he was paying the bills on this hackerspace, which is a beautiful house on King Street, right downtown Toronto, very expensive. And he started a Bitcoin meetup, and it was a weekly meetup, and he was gathering talent and investors were showing up. So I did a volunteer, I volunteered there. I was 20 something. And then I volunteered there for like a year and went to every Bitcoin meetup. And that's how I started sort of my Bitcoin career. The first article I wrote was about Amir Taki creating eBay on the blockchain, you know, like on top of Bitcoin. And I actually just met up with Amir Taki again in Mexico City. We were at Monero Topia and he showed up, and then we went to like Casa de Satoshi and he gave us this spiel on how Vitalik's trilemma has been solved in crypto magic, cryptography.
Do you think it's
stuff,
just
cetera,
more,
so
do you
like,
think people are more crypto friendly here in Mexico? Do you think that's a thing?
I think people are here very pragmatic. They're very pragmatic. They're not particularly ideological.
Like in America,
they're not very like partisan, you know? So if you give them a clear path to utility and you know, a strategy, then we're like, oh, great. The problem is that you have to actually think that deep. And I think a lot of us are sort of very kind of tangled up in like the meme and the ideology, right? And why Bitcoin is going to go to the moon, or why Bitcoin is sound money or whatever. And we're not dealing with the practical problems, right? And I think that Latin America has very specific practical problems.
Yeah,
but I think it's fertile ground. Yeah,
they're not at the second or third order effects of what comes at the haste of being crypto friendly. So yeah, let me ask you that question, because a lot of people that listen to this podcast are Bitcoin only maximalists, and they'll probably ask Kari, why didn't you push back on this? So I'm not pushing back. I just want to get your side.
Mm-hmm.
Why? So do you think it's susceptible that Mexico will become more crypto ish than Bitcoin only, or do you think that's just because Mexico City is just crypto and maybe Guadalajara is Bitcoin?
Well,
I'm trying to understand that, because
I
don't know. I'm not from Mexico. Do you think everywhere Mexico is going to be crypto first and then Bitcoin?
Yeah. So let me just clarify the way that I use the word crypto. When I say crypto, I'm using it as like a sort of umbrella term for cryptographic finance stuff, which is kind of, I think, what people mean. But I include Bitcoin inside of that. Whereas people sort of, like Bitcoiners tend to exclude Bitcoin from crypto, I include Bitcoin inside of crypto.
Oh, okay.
So to me, it's all of it, right?
Do you think Mexico's like that too?
I think Latin America and the Global South in general are, they're adopting Tether, right? And Tether is crypto. It's a crypto dollar, right? And if you look at the data, this is from, for example, one of the flashpoints is chain analysis data that I saw a friend. I have a contact inside and they gave me some data for Colombia, and it's 70% of the crypto use is Tether, maybe 25% is Bitcoin, and then the rest is Ethereum, right? And that Tether is on Tron, right? So I think there's a lot of lessons in that data that I think Bitcoiners are not digesting, right? And one of them is like, not only Bitcoiners, but like Monero people and Bitcoin Cash people and like anybody that's trying to do currency hasn't gotten the message that Tether basically already won that. And they want it for multiple reasons. One of them is that people think in dollars, people do math in dollars, people have debts in dollars, and the dollar is just like intuitive. And that's going to continue to be the case for a long time. And Latin Americans and Global South people value that because their local currencies are worse than the dollar. Americans don't get that. We talked about this in our interview. Americans don't see that because they're living in the dollar.
Yeah.
So they're comparing everything against the dollar. Latin Americans are comparing everything against their local currency. So, and so the dollar is just an easy
option. That makes total sense. And thank you for explaining that. So do you think that we'll ever get to a point where it's just Bitcoin only in Mexico?
I think the other problem is that Bitcoin has a distribution problem, as every other cryptocurrency has a distribution problem. And Bitcoin, the distribution problem is that nobody has Bitcoin. And in order to pay with it, you have to have it. If you don't have it, you can't pay with it.
Yeah.
To get it, you have to pay commission and KYC through some exchange, which is just friction plus friction. And then to go spend it is like, why am I losing 10% on this, right?
Yeah.
And so I think the distribution problem is just going to take time. And I think you need a pitch that is more sophisticated than just use Bitcoin for everything. The pitch is like, Bitcoin is a savings account. Use it as a savings account. Here's how you incorporate it into your corporate treasury. Here's how you deal with the taxes thing.
Yeah.
Here's, you know what I mean? We need to wrap it around into a savings protocol, but also let people like empower them with the technology to use it if they need to use it for something.
That's
that
fascinating. Have you written about this one? Have you talked about? Have you talked about this kind of vernacular? Because what you just explained to me, I feel like it's probably not being said about Latin America. That normal people would understand, at least Americans that like that would understand that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to get that message out. I'm trying to. It's hard. I don't think I've written threads or tweets about it, but every time somebody asks me about it, I tell
you
them about this, right?
Yeah.
And I've been talking to people here about it in Guadalajara to try to explain to them like, this is the issue. Because people, they're like, you know, there's this dream of hyper-Bitcoinization, but why isn't it materializing? Well, there's like six different friction points. You gotta deal with them.
Yeah.
You know.
Do you think we have to stop in 4 minutes?
Sure.
Start. But do you think there's a good opportunity here for Bitcoiners who are starting companies, builders in general that are on Bitcoin only, that are coming from America, right? Because there's a lot more hacker spaces popping up in America now. Do you think Hacker Garage is a destination for them?
Hacker Garage is definitely this about to be. This is where I spend like 20-30% of my time when I come to Guadalajara. And if I'm not here, I'm like around the corner at a coffee shop, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I think Hacker Garage is definitely the spot. I think we need to show them more love. I think we need to help them grow this space because it's special, very special.